Good morning, everybody. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob, and we call the pastors here at Maywood Coaches because we believe that God's made us all a team, and that our job, according to Ephesians 4, is to equip you guys, to help you guys play your position on God's team. All of us. Okay. If we could turn us up maybe a little bit in the back. I don't know if that's possible, but... Okay, so all of you guys have a role to play, so we're just trying to help you guys get there. So today, our sermon is tying right into that all of us have a spot on God's team. We're going to be in 1 Peter, and we're doing our series on 1 Peter. We're going to be in chapter 4, verse 10 today. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. We'll have it up here on screen, too. Bob, you want to read it for us?
Sure. This is a really fine verse, so let's just take a look at it real quick. It says, each of you should use whatever gift. We're going to zero in on gift in a second. What sort of gift has God given you? How has He approached you with a gift? So each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. And let's get the next phrase. As faithful stewards, Jake's going to talk about stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I want to spend just a second talking about the gift God has given us. There are two passages in the book of Ezekiel that are just wonderful. The first one comes in chapter 11. Let's look at that, please. God says, I will give them, here's a gift, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. What's a heart of stone? It's a heart that says, I'm going to live out of self-will. I'm going to live for me. I don't care who gets hurt in the way. I don't care who I disrespect. I don't care about whatever harm I might cause. I am living out of my self-will. And probably 100% of us know, other than maybe a couple of little kids, and they probably aren't conscious of it yet, a lot of us know what self-will looks like and how destructive it is, okay? But here's the good news. God says, I'm going to take that heart out and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. How do we become new people? Josh Monk's not here today. He's home. Actually, he's taking chemotherapy again. Y'all just pray for him. Josh has a two-part story to his life. Like lots of us have a two-part story. And his first part was scary as could be. Second part, he's the guy that we love and care so much for. How does that happen? God takes one heart out, He puts a new heart in. And we could list all the way through that for a lot of us. What does that heart of flesh look like? In the chapter 37, here's what God says. I will put my spirit in you, and you'll come to life. You think about that. God takes one heart out, and He literally puts His Spirit in us. Christianity is not just a bunch of rules and regulations and things that you have to learn. Christianity is God Himself interacting personally with us. He puts His Spirit in us. And so Jake is going to interview a few couple of people, like three to be exact, today who have had this transformation. God has taken out one heart of self-will and He has put His Spirit in them. And then they are in turn using those gifts to bless some other people. So, I'll let you go from there, Jake.
Yeah, this idea of how do we use our gifts, the gracious thing that God's put into our life, how do we use those to serve other people? Sometimes it sounds really up in the clouds that God's given us a gift of mercy, but what does it actually look like? So, we've got a few people that are going to come and tell us what it looks like in their life recently to do this. So, Justin Williams, wherever you're at, you can come on up. Yeah, give him a round of applause. So, Justin is involved in like 15 different things every week that here at church is serving people. He's had an incredible year this last year. But Justin, tell us a little bit about, you know, a way that God has been gracious with you, or given you some grace this year.
Well, this song we just sang about being lost and wrecked again, man, that's where I was. But when I decided I had had enough of that and really started to seek God, that's when He started showing me all these things that are His grace, you know. The friendships, my relationships with my family, just on and on. There's so much grace. But, like, there's things like being able to help people. And that's my main thing, is I love helping people. And I always have, but He's helping me by showing me these gifts so I can help people.
Yeah, I heard recently you got some new hedge trimmers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there's a story that goes along with it, and it's kind of pretty cool the way it worked out. Bob gave a lady my number, and she lives in St. Louis. So I never did get to meet her or her mother, and she was calling about her mother's house. And she said, you know, my mom's a member of Maywood and has been for a long time, and she's old, and she can't take care of some of the things that are growing up around the outside of her house. And so I called her back, and just keep in mind, we never talked in person. It was always, I left her a voicemail, she left me a voicemail. And this went back and forth like this. So I said, I need an address so I can go by there and look at it, you know, because Bob was like, give her a bid, you know, tell her what it's going to cost. And so I get the address, and I'm getting my tools and headed that way. And the spirit that Bob talked about, it was like on my heart saying, hey, you go and you just take care of that, you know, and don't charge her anything. So I'm like, okay, you know, I can do that. You know, God's given me the tools, the physical abilities, and I can go take care of this. And it was kind of like I was sneaking in there and, you know, just going to, like, I don't know, it was kind of felt odd, you know. But so I went and I did it. And the whole time I'm doing it, I'm thinking, I hope she doesn't pick up the phone when I call her back. And so she didn't, and I got to leave her a message saying, it's taken care of, tell your mom, thanks for being a member of Maywood, and God bless you guys. And then so later on that day, I got another voicemail from her saying, you know, it was such a blessing. Like, I was in tears when I heard your message, and just thank you so much. And she said, when I talked to my mom about it, she just said, oh my, oh my, oh my, you know, and tell him thank you, you know. So, and this lady is, you know, and like a year ago, if it would have been my choice, I wouldn't have been nowhere around there. I would have charged her money or, you know, whatever, you know. But now that I have that new heart that Bob talks about, there's a passion in it about being able to give to others and say yes when God calls.
Yeah, and there's a verse in John that you were talking about that you'd read this morning.
Yeah.
How does that tie into this?
And it popped up in my head as I was eating breakfast this morning. And it's one that I felt tried to help the ladies at the nursing home memorize. It's John 3:30, and it says, He must become greater and I must become less. And that just simply says right there, like, you more, Lord, less of me, more of you.
Great stuff. Thank you, Justin, yeah. So much, man.
You all might recognize, some of you have been around for a while. Lorraine Webb is a lady he helped out. So some of you all would say, thank the Lord for that. And we need to applaud one more time. Justin's got a year of sobriety as of a couple of weeks ago.
So that realization that Justin had of God's given me the tools and the ability. I mean, a lot of times we might see a new set of hedge trimmers or a weed eater like this, and a lot of people wouldn't ever think about God or think about God's grace. But Justin was able to feel in his heart like God has graced me with the ability to help somebody else. And that's exactly what 1 Peter 4:10 is talking about, is that when God gives us a gift, gives us grace, use that to serve somebody else. Now, Kathy Berbrugge is going to be our next speaker here to give a testimony. Kathy, come on up. Now, Kathy's story doesn't involve yard work. I know that might amaze
Thankfully.
You guys.
Yeah.
So, Kathy, tell us a little bit about how you've received grace and used that to serve.
Well, I received grace at 11 years old, but grace isn't just a static thing that happens in our life. We can receive grace upon grace. And as we grow in the Lord, that's what happens. But about 5 years ago, my whole life changed. All my plans and my future that I thought I had all figured out changed. And this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, became very meaningful in my life. Because God always knows the plan He has for us. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. And each of you can put your name in there. God has a plan. And so I began to seek Him for that plan. My husband had died. My daughter had moved to California and taken my grandchild. And everything had changed in my life. I had retired from teaching. So it's like, okay, Lord, what will my life look like? And I think He likes that prayer. He said, okay, I'll show you. So in the process of just seeking Him and coming to church, the plan began to unfold. And Kathleen Wright mentored me, and I attended a small group on Thursday mornings. And after a year and a half, realized God wanted a group on Wednesday night, so I was willing to facilitate a group along with some other ladies, and we really have been blessed. God is so gracious to show up every Wednesday night, and in that group, we learn about our gifting. We begin to see where we fit in the body of Christ and in the church, to learn how to serve, so that's been a real blessing.
And I know that group started out pretty small for a while, just a few of you. But tell us a little bit about what's been happening recently.
Okay. For quite a while, there were three or four of us. And then it gradually, we knew, we always felt confirmation we should be meeting and keep meeting. So we did. And then it began to really grow exponentially. And a new group is taking off out of that group. So there's room for lots more people in small groups on Wednesday night.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. So, I know in the first service, Brian English got really excited about the second part you're going to share. So what's another way that you kind of shared God's grace?
Well, this is a very interesting way to look at gifting. You can put the next slide up. I was a retired math teacher, and I realized so many people struggle with math, and I love math. And I visited the GED and found out I could tutor people that were studying. And then I met several people through the church who were studying, but math is such an albatross to so many people. So
maybe you don't even know what that means, so then it's a good example, though.
Well, it's not everybody's favorite subject, and it can be very intimidating if you don't understand. But I have gotten to participate in success people are having. God restores brain cells. And when you... He absolutely does. And when a person is seeking God and God's plan for their life, and if that plan involves math and they need help, it's my privilege and I am blessed to get to participate in that process and see that success.
So good. Thank you so much, Kathy. Kathy's story, we could go on and on, I feel like, about the different points that she had there. This idea that when her husband had passed and she had retired and her family moved away, it'd be really easy to check out at that point. And whatever age you are in this room, people hit those stages in life where there's no clear way to go, where we feel like, well, there's nothing for me to do. But Kathy took all of that as an option to God. She said, God, here, there's all the options on the table. What do you want me to do? She's very right that God loves that type of prayer, of not, how do I do this, God, but God, what do you want me to do? I'm opening up all of my life to you. And then God showed her some very clear things. But did you pick up on the time frame there? Like that she went to a group for about a year and a half and found a mentor that was further along. And then she started something that didn't start very well at first as far as numerically, but she stuck with it. And then she also found out this gift that she had, this talent with math, she can actually use that for God. That God had blessed her with something from her past that she could use that to help people. So this, like, this awesome story that I think we can jump into that same sort of vision that, I mean, most of us in this room have been in a math class at some point and said, oh, when am I ever going to use this? But then look at Kathy, like she's actually using it even today to help people find the new life that God's calling them to. And there's things in your past that you might have learned and thought, when am I ever going to use this? Or what's the point of this? Or why did I do that for so many years? And maybe God can use that to help some other people. Yeah. So we've got a final testimony here today I'm excited about. So Bobby Bradley is going to come on up. So give a big round of applause. So,
hello.
Bobby, tell us a little bit about your story and how you received some grace.
Okay, well, it didn't come before I was incarcerated. So, I'm a single mom, and I was a drug addict, so I got incarcerated, and then that didn't do it. That got me clean, but it didn't find Jesus. So when I came out of incarceration, I found myself homeless with two children, two little girls, and I knew there had to be something, and there was nothing I was getting from my family at home, and everybody and everything around me was just saturated with sin and hate. So somehow, amazingly, it wasn't coincidence that I ended up here at Maywood. You know, my sister tricked me into coming to church, told me she'd bring me some clothes, and she's like, oh no, we're going to church today. So, and it was really cool. I liked it. I liked what they had to say. Never seen a church like it. And then so, like, within hours later after we left, I'm like, so when are we going again? You know, I was like, are we going again? And then Sunday couldn't come quick enough. And then I found out there's Wednesday, so I came on Wednesdays. But so I started coming to church and, you know, still homeless and still had troubles and worries. And then I ended up underneath the hands of somebody who comes to this church. And I was in their basement and I just kept reading books and literature, and we'd find literature on his table and we'd just sneak it downstairs and just read it and read it and read it. And then I don't know what it was. I knew that that's what I wanted, and the Bible taught me a way to live, and it gave me answers that I didn't have, answers that people couldn't give me. And then it just got me unconfused and a little unlost, and worked with me a little bit more and a little bit more.
Very good. You know, we sang today about us being the hands and feet, that we're supposed to be the body of Christ. And so you already shared that somebody here opened up their house to you. What are some other ways that people didn't just say good things, but actually did things to help?
Okay. Well, I was out of incarceration, and, you know, I was learning how to do things, but there were still court dates to come and fines, and everybody knows about those. So I go to court one day, and I had no money, still broke, and the judge says to me, if you don't come up with $250 right now, then you're going to jail, and right there with my kids. We're going to take your kids, and you're going to go to jail. So God, thank God for God, he graced me. I'm just saying. He graced me with right then and there, my fines were taken care of. You know, he put a person in my life, took care of my fines, and I didn't go to jail. And I used to think about, you know, giving money to the church. I was like, no, I'm good. They got money. Look at all these big cathedrals. They don't need my money. It's just, you know, a scam. But I've learned different. You know, I came here and I had rent to pay. You know, I was in a sobriety house and I had to come up with rent. Otherwise, I was going to be put out. And Pastor Bob blessed me with, you know, my rent and helped me out with fines. And it kept me going. And then I started to see that the church wasn't all that full of boo-boo. You know, that it was actually there for a reason. And that the money that we put into them plates isn't just to make their pockets fat and let them drive nice cars. It was there to help people like me. I'm an addict. You know, I'll be clean for a year and 2 months. So, I did not think the church would give their money for a person like me. I didn't believe it. So now that I see that, and I see that money goes to helping our family here and people on the outside, I give my 10%. Like, I do not hesitate. I'm working for the first time after 10 years, and you would think, you know, having money for the first time after 10 years, oh, I'm not letting it go. No. I let it all go, and I keep getting blessed, and I just keep getting blessed.
That is so awesome, Bobby. Thank you very much. So, again, Bobby's story is this awesome story of how does this actually have a ripple effect? Because some people here at Maywood, we're not just talking the right way, but we're living the right way, opening up their lives, opening up their wallets, and helping somebody out in need. But then now Bobby's changed, and Bobby's changing the way she handles her money and the way she's able to handle her family and things like that. So, you know, none of us, you know, Bob and I are not perfect. When I was talking to these three people this week, they were all a little nervous to come up and speak. And even one of them was like, I can't do this. You know, I'm so far from perfect. All of us have flaws. And it's good for Bob and I that you can get up on the stage even though you're not perfect. We wouldn't be able to ever get up here. But notice what each of them said. Each of them had a different way to say it. But God helped them, and then they helped somebody else. We're going to just reread this verse. It's a simple verse. We'll read it again from 1 Peter. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. It says, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So the word steward there isn't a word we use a lot nowadays. But to steward something means to take care of something, to use something wisely that someone else has given you. You know, if someone gave you a whole bunch of tools, construction tools, then you should build things with those tools, not just go sell them or something like that. So the idea of being a good steward is to say, I've received something, but I'm going to take care of it and use it wisely. This verse says that God's grace shows up in a variety of forms in our life. Bob talked about how it starts. It starts the same way with each of us, that God's willing to live inside of us, that if we'll open up the door of our heart, God will come and change our heart. So that's how it starts for all of us. But then it starts to look different after that. Some of us, it involves hedge trimmers. Some of us, it involves subjects at school that most people don't like. You know, some of us, it involves a court system and fees. It can come in all sorts of different ways at different times. But this verse promises us that God's grace is going to show up in your life. When you open your life up to God, He's going to be gracious. But God wants you to do something with that grace. If God's been good to you, He wants you to be good to others. Imagine if anybody in this story had said, so God helped me, and then I took care of myself. You know, honestly, we wouldn't have asked them to come up on stage today. We'd be like, okay, well, enjoy that. But they all had this response of, God's been good to me, and now I'm going to be good to somebody else. And that's where the ripple effect starts to happen. That's when our church begins to look like the body of Jesus. So we all do that. We all have a different gift. You know, when we think about their three stories, they involve three very different types of gifts. And they all use them differently. Think about your own life. What's a way that God's been gracious with you? It might be a talent or a skill that He's given you, or a physical thing that He's given you. But if you don't know right off the bat, how has God been gracious to me? Think about a time when you were in need or when you were in trouble and somebody helped you. How did they help you? And so maybe you could just start there and say, can I help someone else in the same way I was helped? Or maybe you think, what's the last thing I did that I was really good at? Like Judy was talking about like Kathy was talking about, sorry. Like Kathy was talking about, I've got this gifting with math. How can I use that with God? If you'll come to the table like she did and say, God, what is next? What am I supposed to do? God will open some sort of door. There's a lot of needs in Western Independence. No one can walk out the door and say, well, I wanted to help somebody, but nobody needed help. None of us could come back here next week and say that. But the awesome thing about God is he doesn't say fix every single problem in the world. He says, use the grace I give you and help somebody. God's going to be the grace giver. He's going to give you something good. And all you have to do is share that something good with somebody in need. We're going to have a time of response today. We're going to have our worship team coming up. There'll be people up front praying. I know sometimes people like want to jet out of here, and maybe there's a super emergency you have to. Or maybe they want to talk to your friend about lunch or something like that. This is the most important time of our service. It's the time when we actually say, God, this is what I'm going to do. And you can get on your knees and tell God, this is what I'm going to do. You can come up front and say, help me, I need prayer. I don't know what to do. But whatever you do in this time, respond to God. Give God this 5 or 10 minutes and say, I'm going to focus on you. And I'm going to say, what can I do? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you give us grace in a variety of forms. And God, I thank you that we're a church that's starting to be your hands and feet. God, I pray you would show everybody in this room, how can we be active with you this week? What's a way we can serve somebody else with your grace? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.